One snowy, stormy Christmas Eve, this perfect couple was driving their perfect car, a large SUV, along a winding road when they noticed someone at the side of the road in distress. Being the perfect couple, they stopped to help. There stood Santa Claus with a huge bundle of toys. Not wanting to disappoint any children on the eve of Christmas, the perfect couple loaded Santa and his toys into their vehicle. Soon they were driving along, delivering the toys. Unfortunately, the driving conditions deteriorated, and the perfect couple and Santa Claus had an accident.
Uh-oh.
Only one of them survived the accident. Who was the survivor? The perfect woman survived. She's the only one who really existed in the first place. Everyone knows there is no Santa Claus, and there is no such thing as a perfect man. So if there is no perfect man and no Santa Claus, the perfect woman must have been driving. This explains why there was an accident. Well, we could debate the truth of the final point of that joke, but that would be beyond today's focus. We all know it's true anyway. Be that as it may, there are differences between men and women. They're not interchangeable. They have different functions, specifications, and purposes for being. But this is not to say there aren't similarities or even outright congruences between the two. We who know the truth, for we who've read our Bibles and have memorized, internalized, and taken on its life-giving truths, are not and will not be taken in by the incessant lies of the pagan culture around us. We know that both men and women were created by God, so we have the same creator and designer. We also know that God made us alive by breathing spirit into us. Thus, we all have the same spiritual energy which makes these bodies of ours alive. We all know that when these bodies die, our spirits return to God who made them. From this, we can deduce, even without being taught explicitly, that we are three-part beings. Obviously, we have a body. Obviously, we have a soul. That is our consciousness, memories, decisions that result in all manner of actions during our physical lifetimes. Finally, we are not only alive, but have the sense, the intuition, that this earthly life is not all there is, that there is something or someone beyond. These realizations result from the third part of our beings, the very spirit that God gave us, which is what makes us alive. We are body, soul, and spirit. We are, sort of, in miniature, the very reflection of the triune nature of God Himself. As He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so are we, soul, body, and spirit. In our current state, living on this fallen because of sin corrupted world, our bodies obviously are not immortal, but our souls and spirits are. If we have any doubt, the Bible tells us clearly this is so. Let's look briefly at God's triune nature. We know He is Father, for He created us. We know He is Son, that is, Son of Man, meaning He has a physical body, glorified and perfect, such as none of us are currently. We know He is Holy Spirit. In looking at Him as Father God, we see that the Bible gives Him many different names. Elohim refers to God as the Creator and Mighty One. Elyon signifies God as the Most High. Adonai means Lord or Master. His personal name, which is too sacred to actually pronounce, He is used in many of His names, and I'll use the old mistaken English rendering of it, Jehovah. It reveals His eternal, self-existent nature. Jehovah Jireh is He will provide. Jehovah Rapha signifies the Lord who heals, while Jehovah Nissi means the Lord our banner. Jehovah Mikdash means the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom means the Lord our peace. Jehovah Sabaoth is the Lord of hosts, the supreme commander of all heaven's armies. El Shaddai is God Almighty, while El Alom is the everlasting God. El Roy, the God who sees me, while Emmanuel means God with us. We already know that one. The Ancient of Days signifies his eternal and majestic nature, while Alpha and Omega, or in Hebrew, Aleph and Tav, means the beginning and the end. That's a whole lot of names. But wouldn't we expect an actual infinite list of names for the omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God? Each name is distinct, but they all refer to the one and the same God. It's similar with God the Son. We've already noted Emmanuel. We've already mentioned Savior. He is Lord, the Word, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, Redeemer, and many, many more. So now we come to Holy Spirit. How many names does he have? Well, possibly not as many as the other two members of the Trinity, but neither is Holy Spirit a single spiritual manifestation of God who is himself a spirit. Yet even our blessed Holy Spirit, who condescends to live within us, even while we're still such ornery, misbehaving, immature brats, has many names. Note that there appear to be seven main ones. Also note that the number seven is the number of completion, of perfection, of divinity, of God. Seven, by definition, can never refer to anything of mankind, for similar to God though we may be, and were destined to be, designed to be, we are not God. We are not perfect. Our number is, wait for it, six. Close, but no cigar. And the Bible pointedly refers in four verses in Revelation not to the Spirit of God, but to the seven spirits of God. So the Holy Spirit could be accurately be referred to as the Holy Spirits of God. Though he is one, and one with the Father and the Son, just as they are, shall we say, multifaceted, so is Holy Spirit far more than just a spirit. Here in Isaiah 11:2, we see a list of seven spirits, all the while knowing they are all referring to the one and the same single Holy Spirit. To review them, Isaiah is led by Holy Spirit to prophesy that the coming Messiah, namely Lord Jesus, will live in unity with the Spirit of Adonai, the Spirit of extraordinary wisdom, the Spirit of perfect understanding, the Spirit of wise strategy, the Spirit of mighty power, the Spirit of revelation, and the Spirit of the fear of Adonai. If nothing else, all of this forces us to realize just how infinite all of God is. That he is so far above and beyond us that it's only our out-of-control emotions and sheer ignorance that would ever move us to ever challenge God in any way, to raise our voice at him, rebel against him, namely to sin. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We do well if we never forget this and think, act, and live accordingly. Doing so allows the shalom of God, his peace that's beyond understanding, to envelop us like a comforting, warm, waterproof, and bulletproof, demon-proof blanket. And even though God the Father has many names, God the Son has many names, even God the Holy Spirit has many names, yet they are unities in themselves and with each other. They are three in one, one in three, one in a veritable infinity of names. They are in union, a single unity, in themselves and with and in each other. they, he, is the perfect picture of unity, the example for us to live in unity with our Savior, with our Father, with Holy Spirit. Finally, as we live in unity, in union with God, so we automatically live in unity with each other, who are all believers and followers of Lord Jesus, saved by His grace, enlivened by Holy Spirit, serving Father God. Please don't let this language limit your understanding, because language itself is so limiting, and God is literally infinite in every way. If any of us have ever felt the presence of God, we know that the best human word we can come up with to describe it is shalom. And best English translation of shalom is the far weaker and vastly more limited word, peace. Shalom is total and ultimate peace in every way imaginable and more. When we live in unity with God, as Lord Jesus enjoined us in John 15, when He taught us that we must abide, live in, be attached to the vine, which is Himself, only then can we truly live and live out the original purpose for our lives as God designed and destined them to be from before all eternity. Only in Him can we do anything righteous, anything for the advancement of His blessed kingdom. And only in unity with Him and each other can we powerfully advance against the kingdom of darkness, which is currently illegally since the cross and temporarily holding this earth hostage. Our unity renders us unstoppable. All of darkness, all evil, cannot even slow us down if we are in unity. So what does darkness do? So as much disunity, as much division, confusion, and conflict as possible. This is evidenced by the propensity for true Christians to not only criticize each other, but to tear each other down. Church splits, pastors falling into sin, members even taking each other to pagan secular courts for supposed justice. Folks, we cannot allow this to spread anymore. The flare-up of anti-Semitism is just the devil's latest stirring of the pot, injecting the spirit of division. Do not allow it or any other unclean spirit influence you. Stay in the Word, attached to the vine, energized by the many spirits of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. We thank You, Father God, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, for creating us. You didn't need to, but You wanted to. And so You created us to love and to be Your representatives wherever we are, that other people can come to know the wonderfulness and love of who You are. Help us to truly reflect Your presence wherever we go in this life. In Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.